content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired, and it will be available in podcast after the broadcast. This is Kurt Benrud for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Movie and Theater Previews, your source of information about plays that are produced locally with an audio-described performance and movies that are available with audio description. When possible, we post recordings of reviews of the movies and plays on the TRRS website. Go to www.trianglereadingservice.org, click on the podcast link, and then click on either the movie review link or the play review link. We'll begin with a quick overview and then give more details about the most immediate offerings following later in the show. So the quick overview concerning plays, there's only one on the horizon, and that is Newsies at the Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts. The audio-described performance is on Saturday, July 28th at 2 p.m. And now with movies, the North Carolina Museum of Art offers audio description on their summer outdoor movies. On July the 27th, which is a Friday, at 9 o'clock, The Big Sick will be playing. And then on August 25th, also a Friday, 8:30 p.m., The Shape of Water. Now, there are reviews of both of these movies on the TRRS website. Now, continuing for the commercial theaters, these are the theaters in our area that show movies with audio description. These are Regal Theaters. There's the North Hills Stadium 14 at 4150 Main at North Hills Street in Raleigh. There's the Briar Creek Stadium 14 at 8611 Briar Creek Parkway, also in Raleigh. There's the Timberline 6 at 120 Banks Drive in Chapel Hill. The Crossroads Stadium 20 at 501 Caribou Avenue in Cary. The Beaver Creek Stadium 12 at 1441 Beaver Creek Commons Drive in Apex. The White Oak Stadium 14 at 1205 Timber Drive East in Garner. And then in Greensboro, the Greensboro Grand Stadium 16 at 3205 North Line Avenue in Greensboro. Regal Theaters has a telephone system for getting up-to-date information about the movies playing in their theaters. And the information you can get, of course, is what the playing time is for them. The number to call is 844-462-7342. And that number again is 844-462-7342. And then simply follow the menu prompts, and you will be able to get information about the showtimes of the various movies. Now, these are the upcoming ones with new preview information, that is, preview information that has not been included in past broadcasts. The Ant-Man and the Wasp, it's a 2018 American superhero film based on the Marvel Comics characters Scott Lang / Ant-Man and Hope Van Dyne / Wasp. Produced by Marvel Studios and distributed by Walt Disney Studios Motion Pictures, it is the sequel to 2015's Ant-Man, and it is the 20th film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The film is directed by Peyton Reed and written by the writing teams of Chris McKenna and Eric Summers, and Paul Rudd, Andrew Barrer, and Gabriel Ferrari. It stars Rudd as Lang and Evangeline Lilly as Van Dyne, alongside Michael Perea, Walton Goggins, Bobby Cannavale, Judy Greer, Tip T.I. Harris, David Dastmalchian, Hannah John Karen, Abby Ryder Fortson, Randall Park, Michelle Pfeiffer, Lawrence Fishburne, and Michael Douglas. In Ant-Man and the Wasp, the titular pair work with Hank Pym to retrieve Janet Van Dyne from the quantum realm. In 1987, Janet Van Dyne, a.k.a. the Wasp, shrinks between the molecules of a Soviet nuclear missile, disabling it but becoming trapped in the microscopic quantum realm. Hank Pym, also Ant-Man, raises their daughter Hope, assuming that Janet is dead. Years later, former criminal Scott Lang takes up the mantle of Ant-Man and discovers a way to both enter and return from the quantum realm. Pym and Hope begin work on repeating this feat, believing they may find Janet alive. Lang and Hope also start a romantic relationship and begin training to fight together as Ant-Man and the Wasp, until Lang secretly helps Captain America during a skirmish between the Avengers in violation of the Sokovia Accords. Lang is placed under house arrest while Pym and Hope go into hiding and cut ties with Lang. 2 years later, Pym and Hope briefly manage to open a tunnel to the quantum realm. Lang receives an apparent message from Janet, who he is quantumly entangled with. Despite having only days left of house arrest, Lang decides to call Pym. Hope kidnaps Lang, leaving a decoy so as not to arouse suspicion from FBI agent Jimmy Woo. Seeing the message as confirmation that Janet is alive, Pym and Hope work to create a stable tunnel so they can take a vehicle to the quantum realm and retrieve Janet. Hotel Transylvania 3, Summer Vacation, is a 2018 American computer-animated comedy film produced by Sony Pictures Animation and distributed by Sony Pictures Releasing. It is the third installment in the Hotel Transylvania franchise and the sequel to Hotel Transylvania 2 from 2015. The film is directed by Genndy Tartakovsky and written by Tartakovsky and Michael McCullers, and features Adam Sandler, Andy Samberg, Selena Gomez, Kevin James, David Spade, Steve Buscemi, Keegan-Michael Key, Molly Shannon, Fran Drescher, and Mel Brooks, reprising their roles, as well as new additions to the cast like Katherine Hahn and Jim Gaffigan. Taking place a few months after the events of the previous film, the story centers on Dracula, Mavis, Johnny, and the rest of their family, both human and monster, and friends as they take a vacation on a luxury monster cruise ship. Dracula becomes attracted to the ship's mysterious Captain Erica, the great-granddaughter of Abraham Van Helsing, the notorious monster slayer and Dracula's ancient archenemy. Skyscraper is a 2018 American action film written and directed by Rawson Marshall Thurber. It stars Dwayne Johnson, Neve Campbell, Chin Han, Roland Miller, Noah Baylor, Byron Mann, Pablo Schreiber, and Hannah Quinlivan. The story follows a former FBI agent who must rescue his family from a newly built skyscraper, the tallest in the world, after it is taken over by terrorists. Former FBI agent and amputee Will Sawyer lives in the tallest and, quote, safest skyscraper in Hong Kong with his family. The skyscraper itself, known as the Pearl, houses several floors that function as their own society, and despite the risks highlighted by Sawyer, who is the building's head of security, his bosses insist that it is impenetrable. True to Sawyer's belief, the building comes under attack by terrorists, forcing Sawyer to take action. Matters are complicated further when he finds himself framed for the attack and his family trapped above the resulting fire line. Sorry to Bother You is a 2018 American science fiction comedy written and directed by Boots Riley in his directorial debut. It stars Lakeith Stanfield, Tessa Thompson, Jermaine Fowler, Omari Hardwick, Terry Crews, Patton Aswalt, David Cross, Danny Glover, Stephen Yeun, and Armie Hammer. Set in Oakland, California, the film follows a young African-American telemarketer who adopts a white accent in order to thrive at his job. In an alternate, present-day version of Oakland, Cassius Green, a.k.a. Cash, is having a rough life, living in his uncle's garage and struggling to find a job. Strapped for cash and desperate, he lands a position as a telemarketer, but has difficulty getting people to listen to him until he discovers a magical key to customers' attention. Using his, quote, white voice, Cash quickly rises to the top of the telemarketing hierarchy, but risks losing sight of his morals as he achieves greater and greater success. The First Purge is a 2018 American dystopian action horror film directed by Gerard McMurray and starring Elon Noel, Lex Scott Davis, Mugga, Joyanne Wade, Luna Lauren Velez, Kristen Solis, and Marissa Torme. The fourth installment in the Purge franchise, this film is a prequel depicting the origins of the first annual Purge, a 12-hour spree from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. once a year, in which all crime in America is legal. Written and directed by James DeMonaco, it marks the first film of the series not to be directed by him. Let me repeat that. It's written and produced by James DeMonaco, but he does not direct it. To push the crime rate below 1% for the rest of the year and restore the economy, the new founding fathers of America, that's NFFA, tests a sociological theory that vents aggression for one night in one isolated community. But when the violence of the oppressors meets the rage of the marginalized, the contagion explodes from Staten Island, the trial area, and spreads across the nation. Because there are more parties being thrown than people being killed, the NFFA takes matters into its own hands. And finally, we have Whitney, a 2018 documentary film about the singer Whitney Houston, written and directed by Kevin MacDonald. It was screened out of competition at the 2018 Cannes Film Festival and released on July the 6th by Roadside Attractions and Miramax. And this is a look at the life and career of Whitney Houston, who broke more music industry records than any other female singer in history, and became the only artist to have 7 consecutive U.S. number one singles. Friends, family, and colleagues talk about her lifestyle both in front of and behind the cameras, of a life marred with scandals, struggles, and eventual tragedy with her death at the age of 48. Okay, and add all of those new releases to the ones that have been in the theaters prior to this, and let's go ahead and take a look at the showtimes. Ant-Man and the Wasp is rated PG-13. It is playing at all of these theaters, which once again is Briar Creek in Raleigh, Timberline in Chapel Hill, Crossroads in Cary, Beaver Creek in Apex, North Hills in Raleigh, White Oak in Garner, and the Greensboro Grand in Greensboro. Avengers: Infinity War, also rated PG-13, plays at the Greensboro Grand, and that's it for at this week. Book Club, rated PG-13, plays at the Crossroads in Cary and the Greensboro Grand in Greensboro. Deadpool 2, rated PG, plays at Briar Creek, Crossroads, White Oak, and Greensboro Grand. Hereditary, rated PG, plays only at the Greensboro Grand. Hotel Transylvania, rated PG, plays at all of these theaters. Incredibles 2, rated PG, plays at all of these theaters. As does Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, plays at all of these theaters as well. Ocean's 8, rated PG-13, and Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, is also rated PG-13. Ocean's 8 plays at all of these theaters except the North Hills in Raleigh. Skyscraper, rated PG-13, plays at all of those theaters. Solo, A Star Wars Story, rated PG-13, plays only at the Crossroads in Cary. Sorry to Bother You, rated R, plays at Briar Creek in Raleigh and the Greensboro Grand in Greensboro. Tag, rated R, plays at all of them except the Timberline and the North Hills. First Purge, I do not have a rating for it, but it looks a whole lot like R. It plays at all of these theaters. Uncle Drew plays at the Briar Creek, Crossroads, Beaver Creek, North Hills, White Oak, and the Greensboro Grand. And finally, Whitney. I don't have a rating on it either, but it plays at Briar Creek in Raleigh and the Crossroads in Cary. So that's the whole story on the movies. And now once again, for plays, we only have Newsies, which is playing at the Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts. The audio-described performance is Saturday, July 28th at 2 p.m. Stop the Presses, Disney's Newsies takes the stage. Adapted from the Disney film, New York City's newsboys seize the day when they strike against unfair working conditions. Experience the Tony Award-winning musical that's thrilled audiences on Broadway and across the country. You can make reservations by calling 919-831-6941, extension 6944. Number once again is 919-831-6941, extension 6944. Tickets start at $25, and they climb right on up from there. The differences with the 1992 film, in addition to the songs from the original movie, Newsies the Musical contains several new numbers, such as Brooklyn's Here and Something to Believe In. The songs My Lovey-Dovey Baby and High Times, Hard Times were removed and replaced by the singular song That's Rich, which is performed by the same character, Meta Larkin, while the remaining songs were rewritten to fit the changes in the storyline between the film and the musical. The characters of Sarah Jacobs, Davy and Les's sister and Jack's original love interest, and the New York Sun reporter Brian Denton are replaced by the composite character, Catherine Plummer, later explained to be a pen name. She is revealed later to, in fact, be Joseph Pulitzer's daughter, a reporter with whom Jack falls in love. Also omitted was the solo for Patrick's mother. A scene with Jack, Davy, and Spot Conlon is absent, as is Spot's involvement in the fight between the Newsies and Scabbers. Spot doesn't appear until the rally. And now a couple of quick reviews here. This is from the New York Times. It's a review of the movie Whitney. It's titled, Whitney, a Pop Music Tragedy is Sad, Strange, and Dismaying. This is by Wesley Morris. My heart goes out to anybody who arrives at Kevin MacDonald's new Whitney Houston documentary, expecting a celebration of music and once-in-a-generation talent. Those are both present, the songs, that voice, but they're heavy with cost. They're warped, enlisted to indict rather than delight. The goosebumps Whitney's singing gives you in Whitney are the goosebumps you get any time you hear her sing. There's a clip of her at 19 on the Merv Griffin show doing Home from The Wiz, and the chills that come are involuntary. Here was a fever you wanted to catch. Even at this early point, the movie urges you to think about Houston as someone other than, or in addition to, one of the three or four greatest vocalists in the history of American popular music. It presents her life anew and reconsiders the very private suffering with which she might have lived it. How did someone whose nickname was Nippy go so suddenly from angel to ghost? Whitney is too funereal to be a party, too sad, strange, and dismaying to cheer. Yet in its grim, guilt-inducing way, the film works, even on the occasions when it's working against itself. What Mr. McDonald wants to do is a kind of cultural psychobiography. The movie comprises a range of footage, famous and mostly rare, along with one-on-one interviews with her family and friends and exes and collaborators about her childhood, fame, sexuality, technical ingenuity, drug addiction, and the raising of her daughter, Bobby Christina, who also was an addict. Houston's mother, the singer Sissy Houston, her ex-husband Bobby Brown, and the music executive L.A. Reid seem self-protective in their reticence and deflection. But most participants, like her aunt and personal assistant Mary Jones, gush memories, analysis, and feelings. Together, it all becomes a roiling drama built around Houston's celebrity. No one person is responsible for her drug-related bathtub drowning in 2012. Guilt here is a powerfully diffused. Yet one of Houston's two brothers leans forward and stage whispers something like, "This family is full of secrets." It sounds like histrionics, but this family really was. It was rich in lies and charades, too, like Sissy and her ex-husband John going out in public as a couple to bolster the wholesome, whiter image they and the Arista Records executive Clive Davis wanted for Houston. And now a review of Sorry to Bother You. It's titled, "Sorry to Bother You, but Can I Interest You in a Wild Dystopian Satire?" This review is written by A.O. Scott. Stick to the script. That's the first rule at the telemarketing firm where Cassius Green, an Oakland striver-slash-stoner, finds a job. Sales reps are supposed to start with "Sorry to Bother You," which is the title of Boots Riley's movie about Cassius's rise, fall, and bizarre sideways bounces. Mr. Riley is not sorry at all. If you're not bothered, also tickled, irked, mystified, and provoked, then you've fallen asleep on the job. It's fair to say that Sorry to Bother You sticks to its own script, but crucial to add that the script in question flips, swerves, meanders, and all but explodes in a flurry of ideas and inspirations. If Mike Judge's Office Space and Robert Downey Sr.'s Putney Swope hooked up after a night of binging on hallucinogens, Marxist Theory, and the novels of Paul Beatty and Colson Whitehead, the offspring might look something like this. If you wanted to propose an alternative genealogy, an episode of The Twilight Zone, directed by Melvin Van Peebles and Ken Loach, a blaxploitation Polish sci-fi allegory from the 70s, a puppet show produced by Kendrick Lamar and Charlie Kaufman, I wouldn't be mad. Mr. Riley, an artist, activist, and musician making his feature film debut, is both an omnivore and an original. One of the secondary pleasures of watching Sorry to Bother You is sifting through its possible influences. But Mr. Riley isn't constructing yet another postmodern playhouse out of borrowings and illusions. He's building a raft and steering it straight into the foaming rapids of racism, economic injustice, and cultural conflict. The film opens on a note of impish farce as Cassius, played by Lakeith Stanfield, shows up for an interview with a counterfeit trophy and a phony Employee of the Month plaque. He settles into his cubicle with a copy of That Must Be Stuck to script and a list of names and numbers. Mr. Riley adds a touch of loopy surrealism when Cassius pops into the homes of his marks and drops hints of dystopian satire in the form of advertisements for a company called Worry Free. Worry Free, founded by Steve Lift, a Silicon Valley libertarian tech bro visionary dirtbag played by Armie Hammer, perhaps too perfectly for his own good, offers desperate people guaranteed food and shelter in exchange for lifetime servitude. This system of contractual slavery, which combines mass incarceration with the old plantation regime in a context of free consumer choice, doesn't worry Cassius, whose upward mobility accelerates at his new job. His existence may be precarious. He lives in his uncle's garage and is behind on the rent, but at least he can work alongside his best friend Salvador, played by Jermaine Fowler, and Cassius's girlfriend Detroit, played by Tessa Thompson, an artist and a day job twirling signs in front of businesses, is happy that he's gainfully employed. Things keep getting better and also more complicated. A union drive at the telemarketing firm coincides with Cassius's rise through the ranks. He is transferred from the basement boiler room to the airy upper floor suites where the big shots make their calls. He's taken under the wing of one such big shot, played by Omar Hardwick, who introduces Cassius to Steve Lift himself. It's not all bread and roses, though. Lift makes Cassius a little uncomfortable, and a labor organizer, played by Stephen Yeun, seems to be making a move on Detroit. But she and Cassius have left the garage for a sunny, uncluttered apartment, and all in the terms of his Faustian bargain look pretty attractive, like an upscale version of the worry-free deal. Why even have a soul if it can't be monetized? Did Cassius have one to begin with? His inmost self can be hard to discern. Mr. Stanfield, who has shown himself to be an intriguing actor in Crown Heights, Get Out, and the FX series Atlanta, can seem quiet to the point of passivity. But his diffidence goes hand in hand with sensitivity, hyper-alertness, and a scorpion-tailed wit. Cassius is by turns cautious and audacious, unflappable and panicky, easily freaked out and able to deal with the craziest of situations. And the plot thickens. Like many young people, these characters drift into adulthood in search of pleasure and meaning, money and sex, navigating their own anxieties and a radically inhumane but somehow tolerable social order. It's fun to hang out with them, but you can't help but be bothered by what might be coming next, and not only in the movie. And we are running out of time for this episode of Movie and Theater Previews. Glad you could join me for this. I'm Kurt Benrood for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Maybe we'll bump into each other at a play or at the movies.